Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello, lovely lot, and welcome to this week's edition of Tuesday Night Jaw. Back once again, like some renegade masters after a week off. It's been a hell of a week, as I'm sure you are all knowing, because the world is slowly disintegrating around us. Ooh, what a joyous start to a podcast it is. Of course, this podcast, as ever and always, is brought to you by the Distraction Pieces Network, the aptly named podcast network, as we look to isolate ourselves and distract ourselves as everything else goes to shit. There's loads of good podcasts on our network for you to check out. As rough as it's been, it's kind of forced everyone on the network to start producing more content, trying to get more creative with their content. So now is actually a really good time to go and check out everyone's work on there. Obviously, the main podcast brought to you by Scroobius Pip is a certified banger. Also, go and support our friends from the Pod Bible. It involves people that are on the network, but it also shines a light on other podcasts from further afield, because there is a million great podcasts out there for you to listen to. It's something that I've been doing. I found a new podcast this week. It's got absolutely nothing to do with wrestling or absolutely nothing to do with our podcast network. It's called Modern Soccer Coach. There you go. And they had a very interesting episode this week of a Finnish footballer that plays in Denmark called Tim Sparv. So there you go. If you like football and you're a nerd, go and check that out. Obviously, we at Progress are in a weird position at the minute. as we don't really know what's going on. As of recording this, which is a Monday, John is currently trying to fight his way back to British shores via several places in the world. So as soon as John's back this week, we're going to have official confirmation on what's going on with shows, which includes everything really, as we don't really know how long this is going to last for, or how bad things are going to get, and how much changes in the week. So I will say, if you're listening to this and we haven't had an announcement, or you're still waiting on an announcement, please bear with us. We are very much aware of everything, when we're trying our best to follow government guidelines and do the things that we need to do correctly. As you can probably tell from my tone while talking about that, it's been a little bit stressful for everyone involved. So hopefully you have some empathy towards the stress and appreciate that. Right, this week's episode is somewhat of a follow-up to the You Get Out As Much As You Put In episode, which really went infinitely better than I ever expected it to be, because I thought it would be a bit too insidery, maybe, you know, a little bit disinteresting for... uninteresting for general listeners. But I got really good feedback on it from people in terms of in wrestling, whether they're performers or working backstage. But I also got a lot of good feedback from people who are just fans or just general and stuff like that. So I'm really appreciative every time when I do something that isn't necessarily the norm from the show's history and stuff. So this episode is going to be a follow-up to that. Going forward, I'm going to have a lot of spare time. Yay! So that means I'm probably going to be doing an episode every week. Still planning on doing a monthly Q&A as usual. I mentioned it on Twitter yesterday. Something I'm thinking about doing is, I've just noticed that Ring of Honor have released free match compilations or best of compilations for Kevin Steen and El Generico and Brian Daniels and stuff like that. So I am thinking about possibly doing a watch-along episode. I just kind of need to get it in my head how that's going to work, and it's better if it's with someone. So again, obviously logistically that makes it more difficult at the minute, given the restrictions around movements and stuff like that. So that's kind of what I've got in my head. I have obviously got a load of other ideas, as I've always mentioned. So it's just going to be a case of finding the right ones and the right things to do during that time period and being able to execute them. So that's kind of the idea going forward. But for this week, it is a follow-up to the episode. And this is probably going to be a little bit more specific than the first episode, in the sense that this is the stuff that is tailored for people that are starting their journey in wrestling. So as a wrestler, before I get started, there's so much information out there. Not necessarily all of it good, but there is a lot of, you know, guidance and experience people that if you are starting this journey, it's worth looking into. I know Travis Banks did a really good thing. He did a Twitter post, which was... loads of advice for getting started in wrestling, and that was really, really good. Trav certainly knows what he's doing. He's been on an incredible journey over the years, you know, from various countries and various scenes and all the way up to NXT UK. So he's a great person to listen to. Chris Sharp actually linked me to a Dean Malenko seminar that's actually on YouTube at the minute. It's like 2 hours and 44 minutes, and I've not got through it yet. So it's a long one, but obviously that's great. But this is the positive of the negative, that a lot more companies and a lot more people are going to be producing content at the minute. So this is a great time to sort of, even if you are in wrestling and you're 15 years in, this is a really good time to take stock of everything and rest and pause and refocus and really like hone in stuff and look after yourself during, you know, what is going to be a down period and is going to be rough. But it, you know, I try to always look at the positive side of it, and this is a positive opportunity for you guys to try and get as much information as possible and try and improve yourself in other ways other than just being on shows. So as like the first podcast, I had 7 points then. I've got roughly about 5 points. And again, to me, they seem like common sense, but I think that's what made the first episode so good, was that it was common sense that sometimes people didn't think that. And then the minute you hear it, you go, oh, yeah. So it might be a little bit basic to, for some people, but it's this general guideline for things to do. So one of the... So point number one is actually something that a guy called Sean Hayes, or Coach Hayes, who is the NXT strength and conditioning coach, you would have seen him online, or on, if you get like follow WWE PC on YouTube, or if you follow any NXT wrestler on Instagram, they will always tag him in a workout or an Instagram story usually. So Hayes is actually former NFL player, a former American football player, I should say, more accurately. And he went into coaching, and he also then went into strength and conditioning coaching under a guy called Joe DeFranco, who's a personal trainer to actually Triple H. Joe DeFranco's got a very, very famous, world-renowned gym. And it was pretty much through his relationship with DeFranco that Hayes ended up at NXT. And it's been his work at NXT that's really brought through some incredible athletes that are performing at an incredibly high level. He was actually on a Joe DeFranco podcast, and one of the great bits about that podcast was he was doing amazing impressions of his favorite professional wrestlers. But one of the things that he said in that podcast that really, really, really stuck with me, especially as my hourglass is ticking on, was a quote that was similar to, if not the accurate thing, which is prepare like a 50-year-old so you can still perform when you're 50. This is a great point from an athlete point of view, but it also puts in perspective of the one thing that always gets said to you when you start wrestling, which is you need to get in the gym, you need to put weight on, you need to get big, blah, 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 blah. Now, misinformation is rife within any industry, in any entertainment industry especially. Now, when I first started wrestling, I was always a skinny guy. I still am a skinny guy, even though, you know, I do go to the gym and stuff and look after myself now. I've never been a big guy. Now, the reason why I always got told to go to the gym was because I had to put size on. And I never got told why I had to put size on. It was always, you need to be bigger, you need to be bigger. Look at Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, you know, larger than life characters. You need to be this. You need to be this fucking 200 and something odd pound dude and whatever and blah, blah, blah. I had really like terrible advice about putting weight on. Like, people would tell me to like eat directly before I go to bed, you know, like drink fucking 7 gallons of milk, you know, I don't know, snort creatine or whatever. Like, I just got all of that horrible bro science bullshit. And then the worst thing about it was, the reason why it never stuck with me is because no one ever explained to me why I should be doing it. It was just, hey, this is what people do, you should do it too. So with this thing, I think it's great now that people that are in a prominent position on our strength and conditioning coaches aren't necessarily just talking about the aesthetic side of things. Now, this is always going to be an aesthetic business. It has got better in terms of accepting body shapes and, you know, accepting that not everyone's going to look the same. Not everyone has to look the same over the years. And there's still got some distance to go in this. But the focus on protecting and securing longevity for you as an athlete is something that should be the main focus. And this is the reason that I'm going to tell you that you should seek out a gym membership or some advice, whether it's a personal trainer, if your budget can afford that, or if you go online, you know, an online program, or even there's loads of free programs now online and stuff like that. The reason why you should be doing this is because this business, this sport, this like bit of entertainment, it takes an incredible physical toll on your body. And this is speaking from someone that is 31 years old and still wakes up with back pain in the morning. Like, and that's just purely based on the fact that I took stupid bumps, I did stupid things. I was very fortunate, I never really got injured that much. I mean, I had concussions, which is the dumbest thing in the world ever again. But I never really like broke anything or pulled anything or had a situation in a match where I couldn't finish the match in terms of a physical injury. So I was pretty lucky with that. But my tenure as an in-ring performer was very short. Now, if you, well, at whatever level you are, in this industry, you are always looking for longevity. This is the job of your dreams, right? You want this job to last forever. This wants to be a career. So you need to be using your head and thinking, all right, I want 25 years of employment, not 25 minutes of fame. And having a conscious decision to take care of yourself physically is something that is going to give you that. That quote about preparing like you're 50 years old so you can still perform when you're 50, that comes into the focus, like in terms of like mechanically and like practically, of preparing your body for anything you do. So whether this is that you are going to go into the gym, you know, three times a week, do your five sets and, you know, five sets of five reps and do your compound lifts and all that, or if you are going to perform on a show, you need to take adequate time to warm up your body and prepare your body for the strain that you are going to put it through, because your body goes through an incredible amount of strain as a professional wrestler. Not only is it cardiovascular, it's not only strength, but it's resistance training. One of the hardest things that people don't really realize is everyone talks about a ring stamina bar, like you know, ring rust, having ring cardio. Let me again tell you, as someone who's like way more physically fit than I was when I was like, say for instance, 21 or 20, 5 minutes of me collar and elbow tie up, rolling around, doing a couple of like spots or whatever, now blows me up bigger than you know, deadlifting, whatever. Like, it's in-ring cardio really is a thing, but that doesn't mean that it's the only thing you should be prioritizing. You need to be making sure that your body is prepared. Now, I get it. You're probably sat at home going, well, I've never been to a gym. And trust me, I hadn't been to a gym until like 2.5 years ago, three. Yeah, it's not been a long time. I was sort of like, I was either into running or I'd use kettlebells and stuff like that, so I hadn't been to a gym. And it's a really daunting experience, especially if you go to a commercial gym, because you know, it's busy, there's a lot of douches, you know, all the stereotypes are true. But the best advice I've ever had from someone in terms of like looking after myself and training is keep it simple, stupid. And that is I'll talk about it in a second, but I've got an app in my workout. It's called Keep It Simple, Stupid, purely on the basis of sometimes when you aren't training for a specific goal, and sometimes that is the case with wrestling, because obviously you're just trying to look after your body and trying to make it look good, make it look good aesthetically for the amount of shows that you're going to be doing. You don't necessarily have, say for instance, like, oh, in 8 weeks time I want to do this, or 12 weeks time or whatever. Now obviously things like WrestleMania, which is probably not the best thing to talk about in the current climate, but you know, having a big show on the horizon is something that you can work towards, but it's easy for you to get lost within the sort of shuffle in the day-to-day life. So my advice is always that just keep it simple. If you were starting out and you're a young wrestler, even if you're a young person in general and you want to start in the gym, my advice is get appropriate information from qualified people. Most commercial gyms now that you join comes with, like, say for instance, like one or two free PT sessions. You have to have an induction usually as well. My advice is use those facilities when you can. Get them a couple of PT sessions, get them inductions, pick the people's brains. And then you probably won't ever have to pay for a session. I mean, something that I did when I first joined a gym, I went to a tiny little old school gym. The guy that ran it was a boxing coach and used to be a boxer. And I got really friendly with a dude that was a vegan bodybuilder. We just got friendly and I would just pick his brain occasionally. And he was a qualified PT and he was never like, all right, cool, it's going to be 30 quid a session or whatever. It's just he gave me advice and stuff like that. So that is my advice of you will have facilities and people there to help you on this guidance. If it is something that isn't readily available to you, if you are starting in wrestling, it's easy because you've got people around you that give you good advice. I mean, I mentioned earlier that I had terrible advice. Now I'm fortunate to have people that are the best of the best in terms of athletes. Like James Drake being a good friend of mine is the blessing that I've always wanted, because he is a fitness freak and is very intelligent when it comes to personal fitness, whether aesthetics or looking after yourself and preparing and stuff like that. So I can get to pick his brain. And he turned me on to a couple of little things that you can look into that can help you as well on your journey. So seek out as much information and as much advice as you can do. It doesn't have to be expensive. There is going to be a charge, obviously, to use a gym. But for the relative terms, it is pretty easy. Now, as well, there's some training schools out there that have connections. Maybe sometimes they have weights and stuff in the gym. So you have a trainer that can help you get that through, or they have a relationship with gyms within the region as well. So my advice really is look into looking after your body, not getting big and hench and looking like the ultimate warrior. It's about looking after your body. Warm up correctly, learn correct technique, and don't overcomplicate it. So a couple of apps that I use, I've never said it out loud, so I don't know how to pronounce it, but I guess it's Jefit, which is J-E-F-I-T, which is like a workout app on your phone, and it has set workouts that you can input. So, you know, like, say for instance, keeping it really simple, with compound lifts, so you got your deadlifts, your bench presses, and your squats. You can set as many sets and reps as you want, how much rest time you have, and then it gives you feedback as well. Say for instance, you go to gym 3 times a week, it'll give you feedback weekly on the exercises you've been doing, so you can look at, okay, I've got better, my squat weight's gone up, or I've been working this body part too much. It gives you advice about how to rest, how much rest you should have between training days and sets and stuff like that. It's actually a really, really wicked app I got turned on to by James Drake. And you can, if you're friends with someone on there, you can actually share workouts and stuff again. So like, that's a really great little thing of like, if someone's a little bit more senior to you, go in the gym, see if they've got the app, see if they want to use it, see if they do use it, and you can get some information through that. So the app is, again, it's Jefit, I think, which is J-E-F-I-T. It's completely free. Get on it. It's a great little thing. For people, anyone now that like does any kind of fitness or has any Instagram account knows about MyFitnessPal, which is a application where it counts your macros. And if you get the proper account, it can even count all your like your BCAAs and vitamins and stuff like that. It's really good. If you're trying to get a certain goal. I used it for a while because I never really understood like how much, say for instance, how much fat and carbs or protein I should be getting. And it does help me. I don't use it every day, every week, every month. I've not used it pretty much this year because I've got a better handle of it now in terms of like how much I should be eating and what I should be eating. But again, if it's something that you're starting out with, MyFitnessPal is a real big asset to understand like how many calories you should be eating and just monitoring sort of the food that you are putting into yourself. Because again, this is about looking after your body, and putting in green vegetables is a very, very good thing, whether you are a vegan or not. It might shock you, but get on broccoli, get on green peas, get on spinach, get on the green stuff. It's good for you, as well as all the protein in the world. I mean, you can get protein in, I don't know, fucking toothpaste these days. It's got to a point of ridiculous. But yes, so the first point is prepare like you're 50 years old so you can still perform when you are 50. Okay, next bit on my list is learn to talk, which is rich coming from me because it's something that I did. Now, when I was making my notes on this, I put promos / talking, because I realize that people don't realize it's the same thing. I've held a handful of promo/ talking seminars, or I've been there for advice when people have been doing stuff, and it's always really interesting to see people change when you say to them, okay, cool, so we're going to do promos, and their head goes straight on, and it's, okay, here's promo voice, here's promo words, and if you're not if you're not familiar with promo voice and promo words, it usually involves the things of when the dust is settled, when it's all said and done, man to man, one on one, literally the cliches go on and on and on. And you see a change in people where they go, okay, it's promo time. I need to talk in promo. Speak rather than concentrating on public speaking. Now, this is my advice, is learn to talk means learn to talk in public. That is on a social level as well as a performance level. With every single job I've ever done, in terms of talking for a living, that's pretty much what I do. It's always really weird when everyone's like, what do you do for a living? I'm like, I just talk shit for a living. That's literally my job. Whether it's on a podcast, whether it's on stage, whether it's in a ring, whether it's on commentary, whatever. I talk shit for a living. Now, I actually learned to talk because someone insulted me when I was a teenager. I know this is going to sound like really weird, but this is a story. This is a genuinely true story. When I was, I think, like 18, 19, I didn't really, like, I dropped out of college when I was like 16, and I got a job when I was 16, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Obviously, I was involved in wrestling, but I was only really 18, 19, two, three years max in terms of being a wrestler, and obviously, my ceiling on that was 21, so I never really had direction. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew what I was passionate about in terms of like wrestling, but I never could foresee it being a job. So I was just on I was at a social gathering and stuff like that. And someone said to me, because I've always been the kid that would like will quote everything and do impressions and like, especially of like stand-up comics and stuff like that. And someone said to me, they were like, if only you could use reciting stand-up routines and it be useful in terms of a job. And that really pissed me off at the time. And it's funny because that's kind of what I learned to do, was I would memorize stand-up routines and jokes and gags and impressions. And it was just my nature and my personality that I would do that. And I kind of started to transfer that into wrestling. One of the things that everyone always used to say in terms of like that was complimentary, and trust me, there wasn't much, was that I was always confident in talking in front of audience or being my character in front of an audience. And again, it's something that I picked up on my job, but it was that initial thing of like looking at people's mannerisms and seeing what was funny and seeing what got a reaction. So when you are trying to learn to talk in wrestling, please do not just think it's 30 seconds when the red light goes on and you have to, you know, oh, okay, I'm wrestling this person tonight and it's wrestling in Warrington at 6 p.m. at this show for this promotion. Like, it's not just that. Talking in wrestling is so much more than that. It's especially now as a professional wrestler, you have to be able to talk to media. You have to be able to talk to fans in the interval when you're selling your merchandise. You have to be able to communicate in the ring in terms of like projecting in front of an audience. There's so many facets to it that you can't just focus on trying to talk like The Rock in a promo. The reason why The Rock is a great actor is because he has developed social skills in terms of his communication. If you look at The Rock's social media presence, for instance, everyone loves The Rock because he is a nice guy. I probably should be calling him Dwayne Johnson. Everyone loves Dwayne Johnson because he's a really nice guy. He's fun. He's happy. You know, you look at all the interviews that he does. He's got charisma and personality. That is something that, okay, he probably had a natural thing to start off with, but that is learnt behavior. And that is something that we should all be trying to do if you are a performer in front of an audience. When I'm commentating, I have a different personality to when I'm ring announcing. When I'm ring announcing, it's 100% me. There's no filter. There's no act. It's just I am the best version of me. It's my highlight reel, like my little moments of like, here's something funny or here's some intensity or stuff like that. It's just me going, okay, here's the best presentation of me. But when I'm commentating, I am serious, impartial. I have to know my facts. I have to know when to say things. I need to know when not to say things. There is so much more thought that goes into it, but it all is adaptable. And it's something that you guys really should be thinking about. And it's something that you guys can actually do without going to a wrestling school. Now, there is a lot of people that do promo classes, and there's a lot of people you can learn from in terms of talkers. Two of my close friends do this. Jim Smallman goes to schools every now and again that he likes and helps out with promos and talking. Chris Brooker is actually running a course. He does promo classes and promo courses. So if you are interested, Brooker's a great person to start with, because not only does he have experience in wrestling, but he has experience in comedy as well, much like Jim. So they're two people, for example, that do this. But when you are watching wrestling and you're watching people talk and you're watching people present themselves outwardly, get a pen and paper. Write down what works and what doesn't work. And I mean that for you. What gets a reaction out of you? What's the reaction that it gets out of you? Really analyze everything that's going on. But maybe more importantly than to watching wrestling, have an internal notepad in your head. Watch how people interact in real life and how people talk, and think about, okay, you're talking to someone and you're like, hey, I really like this person. They're naturally charismatic. Like, I know this sounds like a little bit crazy, and it is to a degree, but we all are a little bit crazy. Hey, you like wrestling. That's a given. But like, start thinking like, hey, I like this person, but why do I like this person? What have they said? What's their body language? What's their demeanor? Like, really start to like analyze everything. And you can do that. You can do promos in front of your mirror. If I have a really big show coming up, most of the stuff I do, like 90 to 95% of the stuff that comes out of my mouth on a show, when I'm ring announcing or presenting, is completely improv. But if there's a point that I'm like thinking about, it's usually the first things that come out of my mouth. Because for me personally, this is the only way I've been. I don't really get nervous, but I settle in after I say the first thing, like the first line or the first paragraph. The minute I say that, like, my whole body calms down, and then I go into autopilot and I go from there. But like, I'll be brushing my teeth and I'll be like, hello, you lovely lot. Welcome to this week's edition of Tuesday Night Jaw. Like, I will do that either outwardly or in terms of an inner monologue in the mirror, or I'll walk around talking to myself, or I'll walk around backstage talking to myself. I know there's people that will come up to me in terms of wrestlers, and just be like, hey, does this sound okay? And they'll just start like saying little bits of their promo and stuff. I'm like, okay, that's nice. I'm like, say it like this. Like, that constant like practicing is what makes this presentation good. And this is the reason why you look at someone and go, oh, they're so good at this, they're flawless. Or you look at someone and go, oh, you're not very good at this, because there's been no practice. You can learn to be good at promos. You can learn to be good at talking. Zach Gibson is the example of this, and I know it's the example because I've known Zach a long, long time. He never spoke, barely. He's quite a reserved person when he first started out, and even as a wrestler, even to the point where like Gibson started to get recognized for his abilities as a wrestler, no one would have said, oh, he's the talker, he's the promo guy. And he turned heel, and off to the races he went. It just seemed to be like he finally had a moment, an opportunity to start putting into place all these little quips and little moments, and now he's easily recognized as one of the best talkers in wrestling, full stop. But he learned to do it. You know, he was very fortunate in terms of he had some natural ability in terms of wrestling, but he didn't have natural ability in terms of talking. So he programmed himself, he taught himself, he learned from other people, and he learned how to speak. And I think Gibson's one of the best people in terms of looking at as a quote-unquote promo, because he doesn't sound like he is doing a promo. It's him, Zach Gibson, Liverpool's number one, their character, talking. And you watch him on loads of different things. I know him and JD did the bump when they were over in Florida recently. And watch Gibson talk during that. It's like, it's bulletproof. He's talking like a normal person, but there is these elements of Zach Gibson to it. And there's more padding to it than just what you see in terms of a promo. So this is something that you can learn. And this is something that you can start to think about and put into place now, even on your own. And this extends to things like commentary and ring announcing. I think it's easier to learn how to commentate and ring announce in terms of in comparison to being a wrestler talking, because there's formulas within commentary and ring announcing. And if you can clock on and learn the basics of those two, everything else starts falling into place. But if you want to be a commentator, I get a lot of messages about this. My advice is get a video on YouTube, load it up, get your phone out, get the recording app on your phone out, watch the match and commentate over the match. if you've got the editing skills, you can put the commentary over the match, or you can listen back to the commentary with the match lined up again and then start making notes. Like, it is a really basic way of learning to commentate, and I'm not saying that that's how they do it in the Performance Center, spoilers, but it is a great way of getting that confidence up. And also, it's a good way of you getting some content in terms of your showreel, because, you know, you need a foot in the door to show that you can do it, to get content, to build up relationships, to build up work. So if you can do something like that in terms of being a commentator, then that's a great way of showing that you A, are capable, but B, that you are willing to do everything you can to try and get better. So second point is learn to talk. Okay, point number three is you do need an education. Yes, it does sound like the song, but a slightly different one. In professional wrestling, an education is absolutely fundamentally key to success. And what I mean by an education is, yes, you need to stay in school, preferably go to college. If you can afford university, do that as well. But you need a good wrestling school to start off. During this bit, I'm not going to talk about every wrestling school in the country. And if I don't mention someone or I miss someone out, it's not because I think they're bad or think they're terrible or anything like that. It's just purely I am talking from my experience, and I can talk more confidently about people or schools I know that I have a relationship with, or I've seen things them produce talent or them put together lesson plans. So I've told the story a million times, but when I first started out, me and CJ Banks, who's still a professional wrestler now, sought out a school in Wigan, which was GPW, which was then Garage Pro Wrestling, which is now Grand Pro Wrestling. Now, GPW was one of, if not the only northern school at the time that really was anything. Future Shock came a year or two after. I can't remember how quick it was, but Future Shock came from that. And then a few other places started to sprout up. But back when I started, there was really no local places to learn to train. So at the time, I was living in Southport, and we had to travel to Wigan, which was a breeze to us. But, you know, if you go back and ask people like Doug Williams or, you know, people that came through in that generation, you know, they had to travel further afield. Obviously, there was Hammerlock for those guys. That was an integral thing down south. Now, fortunately, there is a load of schools, and not only a load of schools, but a load of good schools. And a good school is super important. Now, what I mean by a good school is not that you have to have a certain curriculum, you have to do a certain degree of things. A good school is a school that helps you learn. It is down to you, the individual. And this is why you often hear a load of dudes and a load of people just being like, hey, go and train everywhere. And the reason why everyone says go and train everywhere is because you need to find the place that you are going to learn the most at. And that's not trying to take shortcuts to try and get further with like connections and stuff like that. I mean, in terms of like actually learning stuff. So obviously, I'm fortunate that I have two close friends that run two very good schools in the form of Sam Bailey running Future Shock Wrestling now, and then him also being involved with Fighting Spirit Pro Wrestling, which is run by Zach Gibson and James Drake, with help from people like CJ Banks, Danny Hope, and Damon Lee, among others. People like Chris Ridgway dip in every now and again. I mentioned before, Jim Smallman comes down for promo courses and stuff like that. So there is a great source of information there. Now, those two schools comparatively are not necessarily the same thing. Fighting Spirit is what I would call a finishing school. That's more, if you're looking at it, like that's more like college and university. That's where you go for the next step of your training. It's not just that they say that they don't do great fundamentals and great basics, because they do their beginners classes, or the way they integrate their beginners is fantastic. But I always say, if you're beginning out, taking your first steps, there is no better person than Sam Bailey in the Future Shot School. He started running beginner classes now, and he, again, this is experience. I've just seen Sam. He seems to really have a connection with his students and be able to bring them on. This is all really important, because there's nothing more nerve-wracking. Like, I was shitting myself the first time I went to wrestling school, because I didn't know. I was 15 years old. Like, I didn't know, like, if I was going to get my head kicked in, or, I, you know, like, I heard the horror stories about Japan and 500 squats and, you know, 7,000 bumps and all this crazy stuff. And, like, you had to be a shooter. And again, like, mine at the time was probably, you look back on it now and go, that was pretty rough. And it was. There was certainly sessions that were a lot rougher than they needed to be. But you need to have someone that can bring you in to that class and integrate you in the best way for you possible. Because the thing is, like, the minute the door opens, like, I went down to Fight Spirit the other week, and there was a really nice thing where I was just like, oh, that's good. Was, you know, a young lad was starting for the first time and everyone introduced themselves, and then, you know, I saw people go out of the way to be like, hey man, are you okay, and like get him involved, and like the way that the coaches spoke to him and stuff like that. This stuff's really, really important, and not just from a really cynical business point of view, because obviously you want returning customers, that's a given thing in a business, but you also want to make sure that people want to learn and want to progress and want to take risks, in terms of calculated risks, safe risks, in terms to progress their career. The Northwest at the minute has been producing really good talent. You look at Big Guns Joe, you look at Ethan Allen, you look at Luke Jacobs, there's others as well, as, you know, those three, but they're the main three that always come to mind for me. And the reason why that talent's been produced is because they have had an education, not only from Sam and Zach and James, but further afield as well. They've been learning on the job from doing shows or going to seminars or helping out at shows. But a good base, a good home base, is super, super important. It's the place where you learn the basics, but it's also where you learn etiquette. You also learn how the inner workings of professional wrestling work as well. You go and do ring crew for your home promotion, or you know we outsource schools for progress shows. So when we do Manchester, we usually use Fight Spirit and Future Shock trainees or people that are affiliated with those companies. We went to Wales, we had the same with Dragon Pro. Every time we do London, it's a revolving door of things like Knuckle Locks, Hustle, and other people as well. Like, we obviously had a head drop exhibition match on boxing. So we source of a school, so it's a great way for you to come in and obviously meet people and develop relationships, but to see how the inner workings of a wrestling show gets put together, and that's various degrees of levels and stuff. Obviously Progress has a slightly higher production than, say, for instance, Fighting Spirit, but that's because it's run out of a hollowed out swimming pool in Magal. Like, it's not as glamorous, but you would learn stuff from doing both shows, and I think that's a great thing to have. So a good home base and a good school is super, super important, and not just from learning the basics, but the etiquettes, building relationships, and building a community which you can grow in safely. So you do, in fact, need an education. Okay, point number four is a follow-on to your education, and it is simply fundamentals. Fundamentals, fundamentals. There you go. That is it. It's catchy, but it is the most important thing. And it's something that if you starting out in pro wrestling, you are going to hear so much that it's going to become a parody. Or at least you will hear it so much if the people that are advising you and training you know what they're doing. So fundamentals is a terminology for the basic mechanics of professional wrestling, and this is a wide variety, from bumping, hitting the ropes, running certain spots or sequences, or running certain drills. And the most important thing that every professional wrestler will always say, it's footwork as well. So if you've never seen it, there's the WWE documentary. It's called Proving Ground, I think. Probably should have made a note of that before I did it. It's the series where they went into the PC and they followed people in NXT's career. The first series had like Baron Corbin and Apollo Crews on it. And there was an episode where William Regal nearly exploded because the trainees couldn't get that you had to put a certain foot forward on a roll. And it was an interesting look into the wider world of A, the PC, and B, that old pro's viewpoint. If you ask an old pro what the most important thing is, they will say footwork. They will always say footwork. And to a degree, it is the basis of everything that comes in wrestling. Before you can do a deja vu head scissors or a tope con hio, like, you need to learn how your footwork is going to help you in that and aid you in that. So it is something that's really important, but fundamentals are the thing that you need to get into your head. So the reason why they call fundamentals is because you meant to drill them so much that they become second nature, to the point where now a really good professional wrestler is, if you say one thing to them, or say a drill to them, or say a spot to them, they will do it flawlessly, because they have done so many reps. That's a really American term again for that, but reps is really important for any young wrestler, just perfecting the things that you're trying to get better at. But most importantly, you should be trying to get better at your fundamentals. They're so key to everything. Learn how to tie up, learn how to run the ropes, learn how to take a bump, learn where your foot should be on certain things, learn where you're how to move around the ring in a professional manner, learn all these little intricate bits that are fundamentals. And I will say this, like any form of training, you know, I mentioned the gym before. When you first come in, there's an upward swing and it keeps going up and up and up, where you just become a sponge and you're learning and learning and learning and learning. And then eventually, after whatever amount of time, because it's obviously different on people's learning experience, you hit a plateau and it becomes boring and repetitive, and you feel like you're not progressing, and you become frustrated. This is something that happens. It's an inevitability in any form of training, whether it's professional wrestling, fitness athletes, musicians, artists, writers, whatever. If you are trying to learn and perfect something, you will hit a plateau. But this is where it's super important to have your fundamentals in place, because that plateau is going to feel like you're making no progress. But if you keep drilling those basic things into your head and into your body, then you are going to get better as a performer, because you stop thinking about, okay, so my arm needs to be here and my foot needs to be here. And then start going, well, you know your body's going to do that. You know your brain's going to do that. And then you think, okay, well, how can I be more creative in making this a better spot, a better match, a better show, a better moment? Like, that is why you will have trainers that just will seem like they are wasting your time. And I know that sounds like a really weird oxymoron to say that it seems like they're wasting your time, but they are not. They are trying to instill in you the basics and the fundamentals so you can progress in your career. It's hard to have this conversation with myself, A, and B, it's hard to have this conversation without having some physical and practical example or show. And this is, again, what's really important about going to school. If you are learning the basics, the person teaching you needs to find the way that you learn. Now, I'm a visual learner. I look at something and I kind of get the basic idea of it, and then I like to be told, I like to try it, and then like to be coached through it, or told I need to improve on something. That's the way that I learn. Like, again, I mentioned it earlier about me learning how to speak in public and talk and stuff like that. It was imitation from people that can do it. That's the way my brain works. I like to watch something and go, okay, when I was training, or even when I was still like going to classes and stuff, I always like to be like the third or fourth person in the line, because you look like you're keen, but also you get to see like the first two or three go before, and you get to learn either A, what they're doing correctly, or B, what they're doing incorrectly. So that's the way that I learn. But when you're going through this stage of your training, it's really important to find the person and the school and the situation where you are going to get the most. And that's a really good sign of a teacher, is a person that can be adaptable to you, to be able to get out the best version of you by doing something that is tailored to you. So again, when you're looking for a school, you should be looking for someone that has that ability to be able to teach you the basics simply, but to the best of your ability. So point number four is fundamentals, open brackets, sort your footwork out, close brackets. Okay, right, we are reaching the end and reaching the final point on the old list. It is the final point, which is be part of the ring crew. I'm assuming that crew is going to be the last crew, is going to be spelled like Motley Crew, because why not? Okay, so We've spoken about being involved in a good school for loads of reasons. We've spoken about getting your fundamentals and your basics in place. We've been speaking about talking. We've spoken about going to the gym. You've done all these things, right? And you're feeling good. You know, maybe you're a year in. Maybe you've had a couple of matches on a trainee show or something like that. And you're like, all right, this is it. I'm the second generation Farouk. I don't know, whoever your favourite wrestler is. I hope someone's favourite wrestler is Ron Simmons, because he was awesome. And you're like, okay, cool. Right, well, what do I do now? Well, my advice to you is you have gone on this journey, and it's a great way to learn more is getting involved in building a blooming ring, but more specifically being part of a crew that helps out at a show. Now, I'll talk about progress in this way because this is I really like the way progress is run in terms of ring crewing. And for the first time ever, I had heard we've got a guy called Jack, Big Jack, who is the head of our ring crew. That's his job. I've mentioned Jack, Rob, and Tate before. They're our boys. They build the stage, they build the ring, they pull the chairs out, the grafters. And it was great. I was sat there watching Big Jack do his crew talk, and I was like, oh, bloody hell, he's good at this, which is good. But yes, so our ring crew, again, is from schools that are from that local area. We're running a school, or trusted schools that we know where we're going to get good people coming in and getting involved. So you will hear old-timers and veterans say that you should pay your dues, right? It's tired now. Like, it's just exhausting, and there's a load of way you can pay your dues. And to some people, like, you would have never built, you know, paid them dues, and you don't deserve to be here and all that bollocks. That aside, right, I always recommend building a wrestling ring. Number one reason for me, it's actually really interesting when you actually find out the mechanics of your ring. Number two, you should know the mechanics of the thing that is there to try and prevent you from getting hurt. And number three, if you have the knowledge of how a ring is put together, you also have a knowledge of how to maintain that ring. So if you're on ring crew during that show and a rope's loose, you know how to tighten that rope. Or if a board moves, which occasionally happens, you know how to sort it out. I was once at a show, and I won't say where, and I was just sat watching the show, and a board moved on two big wrestlers were wrestling, and a board moved, and it took four members of the ring crew who couldn't figure out what was wrong, and I was kind of like sat in the front row just going, just bloody kick the board, it's just the board, you just need to move the board, before T-Bone, whose ring it was, so you could probably narrow down where it was, comes marching out, who's a villain at the time, slides under the ring apron, just boots the board back into place, and then the show can continue. But it just always really frustrated me, because I was like, oh, you should know these things, because, you know, you're part of this show, you're part of this thing. And if I was a professional wrestler and I had to wait because my ring crew didn't know how to build a ring or sort a ring, then it would frustrate me as well. Now, I'm not saying that you should know welding skills or DIY or anything like that. When a ring breaks, it breaks. You know, there's, you know, ratchets can break, supports can break, boards can break. You know, I've seen it all. It does happen. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the general maintenance of it as well. Like, I do think it's a valuable thing to learn. I've built some of the worst rings in the world ever, and I've built some of the best rings in the world ever. But you should be knowing your place of work, like the back of your hands. Also, being part of ring crew gives you an exposure to more than just what happens in the ring. You know, production, runnings of shows, how, you know, even little basic things like interacting with fans and like helping them to their seats and like being there for information and learning, you know, like grabbing entrance gear and generally just like these little mechanics that people don't know about unless you know about it. And one of my favorite things ever was someone was ring announcing, and it's the first time they ever ring announced, and they hadn't really thought about it, and they never announced the winner of the match, because they just never thought about it. They were like, oh yeah, that is something you're going to say after someone's won the match. So it's a great little way to get involved with. It's a great thing to get involved with, because you learn about the bigger picture as well, about all the mechanics and what makes a show tick and run. And you will appreciate that when you are a professional in some capacity. Whether I'm a ring announcer, the best thing about having a crew that I know and trust as a ring announcer is, like, I know they're never going to leave me in the lurch in terms of having to stall. And there are shows where I have to stall because it's got nothing to do with them. It's just the circumstance. That's just the way it is. And there you go. But it's great to know that, for instance, like the Fight Club Pro crew, when I was still working there, my favorite crew in the world ever, because like, they'd go out before me as I was walking to the ring. They would do all the maintenance on the ring and stuff like that before I'd even got to the ring. And then when I got in the ring, I would just either say to one of them, like, are we good or whatever? And they'd be like, oh, just give us like 10 seconds or we just need to do this. And that gives me an idea as a host of the show then. To go, okay, cool, I need to stall, and then, you know, I know what I'm doing in terms of I'm not going to get, you know, lost, or I'm not going to get stuck and the show is going to slow down. So it's invaluable to have a crew like that, and it's a skill that you can learn, and like I said, it will really help you and benefit you going forward. It's not about paying dues or deserving to be anywhere like that. It's actually something that is valuable information that's going to make you a better professional in the future and also make you really appreciate it. It's funny because for the Tetsujin show, the final Tetsujin show, we were going to have a ring crew and they turned up late. So me and Craig and Gaz and a couple of other people that were there, Jordan Brace is one of them, ended up having to build the ring. And it was really funny because we were kind of like, I'm like, I've not built a ring in a few years. But I ended up really enjoying it. I was like, oh yeah, I do remember all this and stuff like that. And then everyone's got different rings and whatever. And yeah, it was quite a nice little experience. It took me back to being 16 years old and having to drive a ring to bake up at 4 o'clock in the morning, having to wake up and go to college next days. That was always a good fun. But yeah, being part of a ring crew is a great little thing, on so many levels and stuff. And again, it's just another aspect of the community at large. So the final point is get yourself a ring crew. All right. There we go. Hopefully that is as informative and interesting as the original episode was. I must admit, like hindsight being 2020, I probably should have recorded this episode first in the saga. There you go. In terms of information and stuff like that. But if you listen to this episode and you haven't listened to the You Get Out As Much As You Put In episode, listen to this one first, go back and then listen to that one, and it'll probably flow a little bit better in terms of the advice and stuff like that. But yeah, they are just some little basic bits of common sense and basic little bits of information that I've picked up over the years. And I do think it's something that people are interested to hear and be involved in, because I think sometimes the mechanics of a show and the behind the scenes of a show and behind the scenes of wrestling can be as interesting as the actual show sometimes. So hopefully that's informative. Look, if you've got any questions for this, you can always hit me up on Twitter, you know, DM me, tweet me, whatever you want to do. But also, I will be doing a Q&A episode at the end of the month again. So if you've got any questions from this episode or the previous one, if you want, save it up for then. And then I'll put the Twitter thread up and you can tweet me or DM me around about that time when I start asking for questions. So keep that in mind. It'll be coming, obviously, not next week, the week after. Next week, I'm hoping to do a watch along. It might be a bit of an experimental thing, and hopefully I can get someone to sit down and watch some wrestling with me and we can have a bit of a chat and tell some stories during it as well. But yeah, anyway, thank you very much. I genuinely appreciate taking time out of your day. I know it's a bit crazy out there at the minute, and I know it's going to be rough, but it's going to get better. Just make sure you look after yourselves, look after your neighbors, look after everyone. And I'll see you next week on a Tuesday Night Jaw.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.